Thank you very much, Brian. Good morning, brothers and sisters of Pantai Baptist Church. And also friends, relatives, and guests, I'm wishing you a blessed Easter. It is indeed a great honor and a privilege for me to share God's word this morning. And the title of my message this morning is called The Day Death Died. And I will be doing an exposition and unpack from God's word taken from Mark chapter 15, verses 42 to chapter 16, verse 14. Let us join our hearts together and commit this time to our Lord. Father Lord, thank you for bringing all of us here this morning, both on site and online, that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we can sense and know that your spirit is among us this morning. May your spirit anoint my lips, and may your word that goes forth touch the hearts of all your people here. May you bless us and be with us. As we listen to your word in Christ's precious name, we pray and ask, Amen. My mother was born in 1916. Last year, 2022, she is 106 years old. She's able to talk, able to recognize me, able to eat and able to walk. But this year, she is 107 years old. She's unable to walk, she's unable to talk, unable to feed, so she has a tube. But whenever we call her, she can smile. And God really bless her with long life and a life that is without suffering. And as a medical doctor, many of my friends and patients ask me, how is it that your mother lived so long, 106, now 107? What is that secret? I say that I have looked high and low and looked at my mother's life, and I cannot find any reason why my mother lived so long. And then they volunteered. Maybe your mother take a lot of health products. I said, no. Actually, my mother never take any health products. She's not sick. She doesn't take anything. And sometimes my patient, when they come to see me, some of my patients, they will bring one bundle of health products and medicine. They will put in front of me, between patient and me. They ask doctor, smiling, I eat all these products, and all these from Australia, no? My children in Australia, they sent to me. What do you think? Then I asked, can I ask you a question? He said, yes, sure. When you eat so much of this product every day, you don't have to take food and rice anymore. By all means, I say, take all these products. And then, if your mother don't take her products, maybe your mother have a very good diet, healthy diet, organic food. I said, no, not really. When I think back, my mother loves Kentucky Fried Chicken, and that's what we buy for her. My mother loves pizza from Pizza Hut, and that's what we buy for her. On Chinese New Year, we celebrate in Kentucky Fried Chicken, you know, restaurant. And also, she likes bak kut teh. My mother don't understand what is organic food. So I'm not sure. She doesn't take all these things. Then they ask me, doctor, maybe your mother do a lot of exercise. I said, my mother is uneducated. My father and mother are both rubber tappers. And she doesn't understand what is this exercise, 10,000 steps a day. Brothers and sisters, truthfully, you and I know that health products, health food, and exercise are all very good and necessary. We should actually indulge in all these things. But yet inside us, deep inside us, we know that all these things is no guarantee that you have long life. Many people do all these things. We know of friends who die early. In short, brothers and sisters, we come to the self-awareness and realization that in fact, men are not in control of their life. And that is what the good Bible, the Lord, tells us in Psalm 31, verse 15. The Lord says, our times are in God's hand. Brothers and sisters, we agree that our times are in God's hand. Did God negotiate with you, when are you going to be born? Did you have any control where are you going to be born? Any of you have control where you are born? Do you have control which family you are born? Do you have control what race you are born? There is none. Because the Bible, God tells us that our times on earth is actually in God's hand and we have absolutely no control. And not only we have no control, the Bible goes on to say in Psalm 66 verse 9, our lives are in God's hand. Our lives are in God's hand. Do you have control? When are you going to die? Do you have control? Where are you going to die? Do you have control? What type of sickness and how you're going to die? We agree unequivocally that none of us has control over our lives. When we are born, when we are going to die. And only God is in complete control. And if only God is in complete control and man is not in control, then all men fear death. As Francis Bacon said, men fear death just like children fear going into the darkness, because death is game over. Death is the great unknown. What happened after death? Maybe you are next. But today, because it's the Easter Sunday, the Bible says there is good news, brothers and sisters, guests and relatives. The Bible says on Easter Sunday 2,000 years ago, it was the day that death died. In God's kingdom, there is no death. If you read the Bible refers to death as sleeping. In God's kingdom, death has died. And I'm going to do an exposition and unpack from these 20 verses. And you can read with me. God's word. It was preparation day. That is the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that Jesus was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him, if Jesus has already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took the body down, wrapped it in linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, there was a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go tell his disciple and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Trembling and bewildered, the woman went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterwards, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest. They did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. This is God's word. And there are 3 points from these 20 verses I want to share with you this morning. The first point is Jesus died. And we know that it was preparation day. Preparation day means it's a day where they prepare the food and everything for Sabbath. Saturday Sabbath is a day where they cannot work. God has given them in the fourth commandment, thou shalt make the Sabbath holy. On the Sabbath, on the Saturday, you cannot do anything. You have to eat cold food, no hot food. The food has to be prepared on the preparation day, on a Good Friday. So it was on the preparation day, a Good Friday, as evening approached. Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, himself waiting for the kingdom of God. So Joseph of Arimathea, he's a rich man, and he's a prominent and a famous person. And he is among the Jewish council, the Sanhedrin. But he was a secret believer and disciple of Christ. And so he was there at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior, on a Good Friday. Jesus was crucified at the third hour at 9 a.m. and Jesus died at the ninth hour at 3 p.m. Jesus died after 6 hours on the cross. And maybe at 4 p.m. or 5 p.m., Joseph Arimathea noticed that Jesus is already dead and not moving. And Jesus is his Lord and Savior. He wants to honor his Lord and Savior. Just like all of us who are Christian, we want to honor Jesus Christ. And he told Pontius Pilate, who was the governor of Judea, who was in charge of all the things and the crucifixion, because he wants Jesus' body to be taken down from the cross and he wants to bury Jesus in his own tomb. Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man, and as rich men, you all know these days, they buy their tomb before they die. For me, is I die first, then my family buy the tomb. But many people buy the tomb first, like Joseph of Arimathea, and there's nothing wrong with it. And the tomb was dug out from the cave with a stone that is rolled over so that bandits and animals cannot go in. And so on a Good Friday, Joseph of Arimathea went to Pontius Pilate at great risk to his reputation and position. And he asked Pontius Pilate for Jesus' body. But Pontius Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead because it was only 6 hours. Pontius Pilate has crucified many, many people, criminals, and he knows that most of these people who are crucified hanging up there, they become tired after about 6 hours, their diaphragm cannot move, and they will die of asphyxiation. But Jesus was scourged, he was pierced, and he was bleeding from all over his body. Jesus' death was accelerated because of hypovolemic shock. After 6 hours, Jesus died. And Pontius Pilate was surprised because many people who are crucified will take 24 hours, 48 hours to die. And so Pontius Pilate summoned the centurion. The centurion is actually a captain of the Roman army, in charge of 100 soldiers. And the centurion was in charge of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ on the cross. Pontius Pilate was in his palace, so he asked the centurion, "You are in charge of the crucifixion. Can you go and check whether Jesus has really died?" And the centurion said that Jesus has truly died. When he learned from the centurion that Jesus has died, he gave the body to Joseph of Arimathea. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, wrapped Jesus, who is dead, and then placed him in the tomb cut out of the rock. The tomb was supposed to be for himself, but he honored his Lord at great risk to his reputation, to his life, and buried the Lord in his own tomb. Then the Bible goes on to say that Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid in the tomb. And if you read the Bible, you know, I as a man, I'm a bit ashamed because all the men and disciples ran away. Only the women were there, you know, at the crucifixion. And the women were there, actually, who saw Jesus being laid in the tomb. Brothers and sisters, if you read the Bible, the most celebrated book in the world, you will come across the fact that there are many witnesses of Jesus' death. This morning, Joseph of Arimathea, Pontius Pilate has certified, the centurion has certified that Jesus is dead, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Joseph. You know, in the Bible, there is this law of two or three witnesses as found in Deuteronomy 19:15. And even today, we still probably practice this. In the court of law, we must have credible and competent witness so that their testimony is established and factual. And the Bible is similar. A matter must be established by the testimony of two or more witnesses. And here, Jesus' death, we have more than five witnesses recorded in the Bible. And even in the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, the same thing goes. Every matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Brothers and sisters, there is no doubt in our mind anymore that Jesus truly died 2,000 years ago. And the second point of this passage is that after Jesus died 2,000 years ago, Jesus rose after 3 days. And this is recorded in the Bible again. When the Sabbath was over, Sabbath is Saturday. Jesus died on a Friday. Sabbath was a quiet day. When Sabbath was over, because you cannot do anything on the Sabbath, thou shalt make the Sabbath holy. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. This was the first day of the week. The woman loved Jesus. And Jesus loved this woman. So when Jesus died and was laid in the tomb on the third day, that was not Sabbath, was on a Sunday, the first day of the week, the woman, three of them, went to the tomb. They want to anoint the body of Jesus. Anoint means they want to cover Jesus' body with herbs and spices, which are fragrant because the body of Jesus is already decaying and putrefying. And there is already an odor that is coming out. So this woman loved Jesus, and they anoint the body of Jesus so that it will not have any bad odor. And for a Jewish person, for a Jewish custom, part of a day is considered as one day. Jesus died at 3 p.m. on a Friday. That is one day. Sabbath is second day. Sunday is another day. Sunday starts from sundown on a Saturday to sundown Sunday. So part of a Sunday is also considered as one day. And that is why the Bible says that Jesus died and was buried in the tomb for 3 days. And this is the third day. And as these three women were going to the tomb, they asked each other, there is this big stone covering the tomb. Who will remove the stone from the entrance? But as they approached the tomb, they noticed that the stone, which was very large, was already rolled away. And then they entered the tomb and they saw a young man dressed in white sitting on the right side of the tomb, and they were alarmed. I will be alarmed because when I go there, I want to anoint Jesus' body. Jesus' body is absent. The tomb is empty. And there was this angel. There was this angel that was there and Jesus was not there. And the angel said, don't be alarmed, sisters. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified on Friday. He has risen. He is not here. He is alive. He is no longer in the tomb. See the place where they have laid him. Go and tell his disciple and Peter. He already told you before he died that he's going to go ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Yes, brothers and sisters, the empty tomb is proof and evidence that Jesus has died and has risen and Jesus is alive. And Mark chapter 16, verse 12 to 4 says that Jesus appeared to the two. There were two people on Good Friday, saw Jesus died. They were discouraged and despondent. And they went back to their village in Emmaus nearby. And as they were walking, Jesus appeared with them. And Jesus appeared to these two on the road to Emmaus. And not only that, Jesus also appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse says that not only he appeared to the woman, the disciples, the two, he also appeared to 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time. Some are dead, some are living. So brothers and sisters, the resurrected Christ, the living Christ, is an established fact. If you are honest with yourself and if you are a lawyer, all the more so when you study the facts and the testimony of the witnesses, you can come only to one conclusion. And that is what Simon Greenleaf, a very famous professor of law from Harvard University, 200 years ago, he studied the law of evidence of the testimony of the four gospels, and he wrote a book called The Testimony of the Four Evangelists. And you can go to the website. Simon Greenleaf was not a Christian. He did not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So he set out to disprove the biblical testimony concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he wrote a book. And he came to this one conclusion. As a logical lawyer professor, he says that the resurrection of Christ was one of the best supported events in history. And that is according to the law of legal evidence in the court of justice. All the more so, if some of you are lawyers, you should go through the evidence. And the witnesses are credible and competent. And you can come only to one conclusion like Simon Greenleaf. And Simon Greenleaf believed and accepted Jesus Christ because he is a lawyer, he is honest with himself. So brothers and sisters, on Easter Sunday 2,000 years ago, death died. Death is no longer relevant in God's kingdom. For us Christians, death is not relevant anymore. And the Bible says when Christians die, they actually sleep. And when you sleep, you will wake up, and you will wake up in heaven. And that is why the Bible in Romans 6:9 says that we are sure of this. We are sure of this. We are sure of this. Because Christ was raised from the dead, he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. Death cannot hold down Jesus Christ. Death cannot contain Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has power over death. Jesus has defeated death. And I'm coming to my last point. Jesus died 2,000 years ago. Jesus rose 2,000 years ago after 3 days. And because Jesus rose, Jesus is alive. Death died. And why did death die 2,000 years ago? Because it was God's plan to redeem humanity through Jesus' death and resurrection. Jesus is God's Son. He sent God's Son to earth so that Jesus can become like a man and Jesus can be obedient to death and death on the cross. And even before Jesus was born, 700 BC in the Bible is recorded. 700 years before the birth of Christ, there were two prophets that already prophesied and predicted, O grave, Jesus will be your destruction. O grave, Jesus will be your destruction. And that was 700 years before Christ was born. The other prophet, Isaiah, in chapter 25, verse 8, says that Jesus will swallow up death forever. Do you believe it? Yes, because Jesus is alive today. Jesus is seated on the right hand of God in heaven right now. And the Bible says Jesus died and raised to life for us sinners. When we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. You don't have to be righteous. You don't have to be good. The worse you are, the more you need Jesus. And when Jesus died, he died for us. And when Jesus raised to life, he was raised to life for us. And now Jesus is sitting in heaven on the right hand of God, pleading for us. Yes, brother, pleading for us. And that is why some of you are here this morning. Because Jesus has a pleading for his Father. That many on this earth are not saved. They have not heard of Jesus. They have not received Jesus in their life. They have nowhere to turn to. And Jesus is pleading to God to love humanity. Will you soften the heart of your people this morning? Some of you who are here for the first time, when you hear this, Jesus is saying, will you open up your hearts? Will you soften your heart and receive Jesus? He died for you. He was raised for you. And the Bible says, because Jesus lived, you will also live. Because Jesus is alive, one day we will also be alive. And the Bible tells us that Christians will live eternally in heaven after dying physically on earth. And that is what Jesus said to Nicodemus. I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, if you want to have eternal life in Christ Jesus, Jesus said that you need to be born again. But how are you to be born again? Jesus said to be born again, you need to surrender. You need to humble yourself and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That when Jesus died, he died for your sin. He carried your sin in his body on the cross. When he died, your sin died. When he was raised 3 days later, he will also raise you 3 days later. You need to be born again and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And Christians, we know, we have two births and one death. We are born physically from our mother's womb. And Jesus said we need to be born spiritually again. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior right now, God will send his Holy Spirit to dwell in your body. And the body of God is the body of Christ and also called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will testify with your spirit that is dead, now become alive, that now you are son of God. And if you are son of God, when you die physically one day, even if you have long life, you will not die spiritually. So when you believe in Christ, just like Christ has risen, you only die once and you don't die the spiritual death. You go to heaven straight away. But for non-believers, you are born from the mother's womb. You are not born spiritually. When you die physically, you also die spiritually because you don't know Jesus. Jesus is not your Savior. However, brothers and sisters, the good news is that God wants everyone to be saved. God wants everyone to be saved and none to perish. None of you here this morning should perish. Every one of you have the opportunity and privilege to receive Christ and be born again and have eternal life. But you need to understand the truth. And the truth is that when you are born, you inherited the sin of Adam and Eve. The first man and woman rebel against God. God say, I created you. I put you in the Garden of Eden. You cannot eat the forbidden fruit. But the serpent tempted Adam and Eve. You want to be like God. You eat the fruit, then you become like God. And man, Adam and Eve, rebel against God. Ate the fruit, wanted to be like God. And God banished them from the Garden of Eden. Man becomes separated from God and man sin, and sin entered the world. And all of us are sinners. And it is very easy to prove that all of us, without exception, are sinners. I just ask you, any one of you who have never lied, who have never cheated, who have never done wrong, who have never sinned, any one of you can raise your hand that you are not a sinner. You have never lied. You have never cheated. You have not done anything wrong. If you raise your hand, you're probably the biggest liar. All of us are sinful. All of us are sinful. I am very sinful. I know I am a great sinner. And I need God all the more. And the Bible tells us, because one person disobeyed God, and because he disobeyed God, suddenly my screen disappeared. Because one man disobeyed God, man sinned, and death came to man. And that's why we all have to die. But through another man, through another person who obeyed God, he helped us to be righteous. And because of what Jesus has done on the cross, when God looked at us, He said we are righteous because the blood of Jesus, the body of Jesus, has cleansed us from all our unrighteousness and our sin. Brothers and sisters, in conclusion, 2,000 years ago, it is a historical fact that Jesus died on the cross and He rose again 3 days later. Death has died. Death is defeated by Jesus. Jesus is alive. And if you believe in Jesus right now, today, you are born again and you will have eternal life. The greatest blessing my mother had was long life. And I don't know why God bless her with long life, without any pain and suffering, without any sickness. She's 107 now. But brothers and sisters, I must tell you truthfully and sincerely, the greatest blessing on my mother is not long life. It is actually eternal life. My father, when I was 10 years old, my father and mother both are rubber tapper. My father died when I was 10 years old. And when I look at his death certificate, because I'm a doctor, I look at his death certificate, one of the causes of death is malnutrition. We were so poor. My father and mother have 11 children. My sisters have been given away. And we were not Christian. But 30 years ago, I became a Christian. And so as a Christian, when my mother come to Ipoh to stay with me, what do? I share the good news. Because I want my mother not only to have long life, but eternal life in heaven with God. And in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. And that was what I received, the fullness of joy when I received Christ into my life. And I want to bless my mother with that eternal life. And so my wife shared with my mother when she stayed with me in Ipoh. After a couple of years, my sibling called me, Kim Ting, don't share anymore the Bible with mother. Mother not happy. Mother don't want to become a Christian. Don't share anymore lah. Then I told my sibling, you know I'm trying to be a good son. You know I'm trying to be a good son. And my mother is a good mother, you also know. The Bible is a good news. What's wrong with a good son sharing the good news with a good mother? I said there's nothing wrong. And 20 years ago, I remember very clearly because early in the morning, my wife came upstairs and called me, please go down, your mother wants to talk to you. So I went down early in the morning, 20 years ago. I asked, Ma, apa mau? Because she's a baba. Ma, apa mau? And she said, panggil pastor sekarang. I said, anak doktor, panggil bila-bila pun boleh datang. Pastor tak boleh. Pastor tak boleh. Apa mau, Ma? Apa mau? My mother wants to be baptized. And she told me 3 things. Son, I want to go to church. Son, I will not worship other God. And son, I will not eat any more of this food worship to idols. So I called my pastor and she baptized my mother the next day. And since then, my mother, although she's very old, she goes to church every Sunday without fail. And I must tell you, she'll never worship other gods anymore. She worships every day, you know, on the altar. But since then, she never. Because her heart is fully surrendered to Christ and she is fully committed. Even my sibling now, many of them have become Christian and they told me that even when she goes to church every Sunday, the pastor will tell, look at this old lady. She comes half hour early to church and you all are coming late. Can you please follow that old lady? But now my mother is so weak and frail. The pastor come to the house and do Holy Communion. Brothers and sisters, there is no doubt in my life, in my mind, in my family, that the greatest blessing that we have received is that gift of salvation. Our life has been transformed and never the same again. And moreover, now, when we live our life on earth, we have no more fear of death because Jesus has conquered death. Death has died 2,000 years ago. Whoever is born again and believe in Jesus Christ, though he die, he will live again in heaven. So I want to leave with you with this message and let us pray. Father Lord, thank you for this gift of salvation that you open for each and every one of us here. Thank you that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, who did not consider himself God, something to understand, but he emptied himself of everything and came down to earth as a man to die on the cross for our sin. Although we go through much tribulation, testing, and temptation, you mentioned that on earth, you will have trouble. And over these past years, Lord, we realize that indeed, there are lots of trouble on this earth. But we have you, and when we have you, we have everything by your side, by our side. And you have said that when we put our trust in God, no matter whatever problems we have in our family, in our finance, in our work, and in our health, when we trust in you, you will renew our strength, and you will help us to soar like eagles. And even when we run, we will not feel tired. Even when we walk, we will not feel faint. Even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, when we are sick, when we are old, we have no fear, for you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. You prepare a banquet before our enemies. Surely, Lord, goodness and mercy will follow all of us as we dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, open heaven's gate and pour out your Spirit right now onto this sanctuary, onto the hearts of all your people this morning. Especially, Lord, those who have heard the good news for the first time, or even those who have heard many times, but yet to surrender their life to you. Jesus is pleading to you, as the Bible said. Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. And if you have a strange feeling in your heart, in your body, and you hear the voice of God this morning, Jesus is asking that you open the door of your heart to allow Jesus to enter into your heart. And Jesus said that he will have supper with you and you with him, and you will journey with Jesus Christ for the rest of your life. No matter whatever you go through, challenges and difficulties and troubles, Jesus will be by your side and inside you to guide you and to strengthen you and help you to persevere so that one day you will see Jesus in heaven. Brothers and sisters, I do not know who here among us has been touched personally by the word of God, by the hand of Jesus. If you are touched by Jesus this morning, by his sacrifice on the cross, will you raise up your hand and surrender your life to Jesus and accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Do not be shy, because the greatest blessing on earth you will ever receive is the gift of salvation from God our Father. It's between you and God. And if God touched you this morning, will you just raise your hand? And I want to pray for you that God and Jesus will enter into your life and strengthen your life and journey with you. Will you raise your hand? Lord, our Father, we thank you for your word, that even as we hear your word, it will be internalized in our life and our life will be transformed. Help us each day, Lord, to live our life as your witness, and that we will glorify your name through our life, short life on this earth. We thank you for the privilege of being called your children, children of God. We thank you and bless you. In Christ's precious name, we pray and ask. Amen. Amen. Thank you.